book of Nehemiah, chapter number 2 tonight. The book of Nehemiah, chapter number 2 this evening. Nehemiah, chapter number 2. We'll be looking tonight in verses 11 through 20. Nehemiah, chapter 2 tonight. Again, it's good to see everybody. Glad you made your way this way. And pray the Lord will help you tonight. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse number 11. The Bible says, "So I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days." This is the person, Nehemiah, that is doing the talking, or the one that's doing the writing here. He says in verse number 12, "And I arose in the night, I and some few men with me, neither told I any man what God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem. Neither was there any beast with me save the beast that I rode upon. And I went out by night by the gate of the valley, even before the dragon well, and to the dung port, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and the gates thereof were consumed with fire. Then I went on to the gate of the fountain, and to the king's pool, but there was no place for the beast that was under me to pass. Then went I up in the night by the brook, and viewed the wall, and turned back, and entered by the gate of the valley, and so returned. And the rulers knew not whither I went, or what I had did, or what I did. Neither had I as yet told it to the Jews, nor to the priest, nor to the nobles, nor to the rulers, nor to the rest that did the work. Then said I unto them, Ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth in waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come, and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that there be no more a reproach. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's word that he had spoken unto me. And they said, Let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hand for this good work. But then Sanballat and the Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, and Gershom the Arabian heard it. And they laughed us to scorn and despised us and said, What is this thing that ye do? Will ye rebel against the king? Then answered I them and said unto them, The God of heaven will prosper us. Therefore we his servants will arise and build, but ye have no portion, nor right, nor memorial in Jerusalem." Let's pray tonight. Father in heaven, I love you again. Lord, thank you again for the service. Thank you again for these that have come out tonight. Lord, I do pray now, Lord, that you would please empty me of myself. Father, I pray now, Lord, that you'd please fill me with thy spirit. Lord, I pray tonight, Lord, that you would just help me tonight to preach the message that you've laid upon my heart. Lord, I pray that you would fill me with the Holy Spirit. Lord, that you'd forgive me of sin, empty me of myself, and use me tonight, I pray. Lord, I pray tonight for my audience. May they listen with open ears and open hearts and be receptive to the Word of God. Lord, may the believers be challenged tonight, Father, I pray. And then, Lord, if one be lost amongst us, may they be saved this evening. Thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Tonight, I would like to simply start out by asking a question. Has God ever placed a burden upon your heart? The word burden simply means load, something that is carried, a duty, or a responsibility. I could ask, has God ever specifically called you to serve Him in some way? I think about tonight, I hope those of us that are believers, those of us that are saved, I hope that we can answer both of those questions by saying yes. God has placed a burden or a desire or a call upon my life. God has given me as a believer some specific responsibility or duty to fulfill for Him. Every believer should have some kind of burden or some kind of call upon their life. Now, I know tonight we're not all called to be preachers. We're not all called to be missionaries. We're not all called to be different things. But there should be some kind of call or some kind of burden in our life. Something that we know God wants us to do for Him. Some way we know that God wants us to serve Him. I will say this tonight. I think there are two types of burdens or two types of calls on our lives. First of all, there's the short-term call. I think about this. This is a call from the Lord that may be only for a short while. An example of this burden may be that God has called you to maybe give something in His service. Whether it be financially, whether it be something that you possess that someone needs, that's a short-term call. In other words, when you give that which God has called you to give, that call is fulfilled and you move on to the next call. Not only that tonight, but I think about He may be calling you to help someone who has a need. You think about that tonight, there are those that we know that have some kind of need. And once we help that person fulfill that need, or once we help that person with that need, that call is fulfilled and we move on to the next thing the Lord has for us. And then I think tonight, the other call or burden that God puts upon our lives is the long-term burden. This is the lifelong call. This is a call that will stay with you until the day that you die. I think about tonight, these examples of these could be the call to preach. When God calls a man to preach, He puts that call upon his life for the rest of his life. I think about you as ladies, God may put the call upon your life to be maybe a pastor's wife, or maybe to teach a Sunday school class or do something like that. And listen, that is a call on your life in which will be with you forever. There may be also the call to the mission field. There may be the call to become or be a soul winner. These are long-term calls that you cannot and will not get away from. And God has called you to do these things, and you will do them till the day that you die. In our text tonight, I can say that I see a man with a burden or a call upon his life. God has called Nehemiah to perform a specific task or a specific duty. Nehemiah's task was to rebuild the wall around Jerusalem and to rebuild the city of Jerusalem. We understand in the history of the nation of Israel, Israel continued to sin against God. And because of their willingness to sin and because of their unwillingness to repent and turn to God, they were sent away into 70 years captivity. The book of Nehemiah is written at the end of that 70 years captivity. And what has happened is the city of Jerusalem, the walls of Jerusalem, had absolutely been destroyed. They had been devastated. And now, through God's guidance and through God's providence, there was a remnant that was starting to return to the city of Jerusalem. Ezra, in fact, the Old Testament prophet, had already returned, and Nehemiah was now getting the burden or the call to go back home to Jerusalem to rebuild the wall. If you were to look over in chapter number 1 tonight, just flip back over in chapter number 1, you see the condition of the city of Jerusalem. This is a report that Nehemiah got. It says, "And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The walls of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire." Jerusalem was in a bad situation. Jerusalem was in a bad state. Jerusalem was in need of repair. When Nehemiah heard about the wall around Jerusalem and he had heard about the gates that had been burned with fire, Nehemiah's heart broke. If you look in chapter 1 and verse number 4, we see what happened when Nehemiah was moved by the situation. First of all, if you'll look here, it says that, "And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept." Nehemiah was moved to tears because of the need that he saw. Not only that, but he was moved to mourn. Notice he says, "I sat down and wept and mourned." He was in mourning for the situation that was happening in Jerusalem. Not only that, but he was moved to fast. Notice there, mourned certain days and fasted. He did without food. He did without water for a certain amount of days because of the burden that he had upon his heart to rebuild Jerusalem. Notice also he was moved to prayer. He said, and I prayed before the God of heaven. I'll say tonight, this is where the burden for Jerusalem began in Nehemiah's heart. In chapter number 1, in verses 5 through 11, Nehemiah would surrender to the call to go rebuild the wall. I heard a preacher preach a message at one time entitled, The Call to the Wall. And I'm not going to preach that tonight. But Nehemiah had a call to go rebuild the wall in Jerusalem. It was a burden that he had upon his heart. It was something that God had put upon him. If you think about the call that was placed upon Nehemiah's life, I'll say this tonight, it was not a glamorous call. You know, oftentimes in our lives, God calls us to do things and God requests us to do things and request us. There's the word, Miss Lisa. She was waiting for me to put a word out there. Request us. God requests us to do things for Him. And oftentimes, if it's not glamorous or there's little recognition that comes with us, we're hesitant to do it. But understand this tonight, oftentimes the call of God is not a glamorous call. I think about the call in Nehemiah's life. It was a call that involved hard work. Not only that, but it was a call that involved sacrifice. It was a call that was going to involve inconvenience in the life of Nehemiah. It was a call that involved people. You say, why in the world do you say that? Well, guess what? Whenever you're dealing with people, it's not always easy. Sometimes it's difficult dealing with others, and especially the Jewish people. Moses had to deal with some hard-headed folks. Nehemiah was going to have to deal with the same type of people. Not only that, but it was a call that involved late nights. It was a call that involved hardships. And it was a call that involved ridicule. Oftentimes, the call of God in our lives is a call that is absolutely not glamorous. I think about, as we look at this and as we study this, I think about other people in the Word of God that had been called by God for a specific service. And the call was not easy. The call was difficult. And here are some of the results of those calls. You think about Moses. Moses was called of God to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. Imagine leading 600,000 plus people out of the land of Egypt. You're out 1 week and they're already wanting to go back. Not only that, but the Bible describes them as stiff-necked. The Bible also tells us there were murmurers above them or among them. And so the whole time Moses was leading a bunch of complainers and moaners and groaners. That's not a glamorous necessarily, is it? But Moses was called of God to do that. Now think about David. David was called of the Lord to be king over Israel. But David spent much of his life running from King Saul. I think about the disciples. They were called to follow Christ. And out of all of those disciples, they all met the martyr's end. They died for their faith with the exception of one, John the Revelator. He was the only one that was spared. But he got to figure out what it was like to be boiled in a pot of oil. It was not an easy call on his life. I think about there have been many pastors, there have been many missionaries, there have been many Sunday school teachers, many deacons, many laymen, many choir directors, many other people who have answered the call of God, and that call has not been an easy call upon their lives. Tonight, I would simply like for the rest of our time to point out three things about the call of God on Nehemiah's life. And in these three things, I would like us to examine ourselves and to make sure we have the correct call of God, or make sure God has put a call upon our lives. Listen, God uses His people to serve Him. God has a specific duty. He has a specific call in which He wants every one of us to fulfill. Some of those calls may seem great. Some of those calls may seem insignificant. But whatever call God has placed upon your life tonight, it is an important call for you. It is an important burden for you to bear, and you must bear that burden tonight. First of all, I say about this call that God had put upon Nehemiah's life that Nehemiah had something in his heart. Nehemiah had something in his heart. If you look there in chapter number 2 and verse number 12, it says, I arose in the night, and I arose in the night, and some few men with me, neither told I any man what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem. Notice there that Nehemiah hadn't told anybody what God had called him to do, yet God had put a call in his heart. God had spoke to Nehemiah's heart and said, Nehemiah, I want you to go rebuild the wall. Nehemiah, I want you to go bear the burden there in Jerusalem and do a great work for me there in Jerusalem. I think about how that God did not speak to Nehemiah's intellect. God did not speak to Nehemiah's emotions, but God spoke directly to Nehemiah's heart. Listen, when God puts a call upon your life, it should be a call that speaks to our heart. A call that speaks to the very soul of us as believers. I noticed three things about this call from the heart. First of all, God had put the call there. Nehemiah didn't ask for this call. Nehemiah didn't request this call. But God had chosen to place the call to build the wall upon his, Nehemiah's, heart tonight. Nehemiah had been called by God. He wasn't mama called, as we've heard that said before many times. Nehemiah was not a mama called man. Mama didn't say, Nehemiah, go build the wall. No, God said, Nehemiah, go build the wall. Not only that, but Nehemiah was not daddy called. Nehemiah's daddy did not call Nehemiah and said, Nehemiah, there needs a wall be built. You go do it. No, God spoke to Nehemiah and said, go build the wall. Not only that, but Nehemiah was not called by his friends. Not only that, but Nehemiah was not called by his pastor. Now understand this, the pastor can have wisdom into the call in people's lives, but beware, don't allow yourself to become pastor called. It will cause you problems down the road. Make sure that you are God called. Nehemiah was not only not called by his pastor, but he was not called by his wife. He was God called. I think about how that Nehemiah was not called by a Sunday school teacher. Nehemiah was not called by a deacon. Nehemiah was not called by someone that was older than him. Nehemiah was called of God Almighty. When God puts a call on a person's life, they cannot escape it. It absolutely consumes their life. I can say from experience through the different calls that God has placed upon my own life, I could not escape the call to preach. As much as I tried everything that I told God I would do, God was still saying, preach. I said, Lord, I'll be a deacon. Lord, I'll be an usher. Lord, I'll be a Sunday school teacher. Lord, I'll do anything but preach. But no, God was speaking to my heart. God was putting it into my heart to become a preacher, and I could not escape that call. I think about the call to be a missionary and serve with the Rock of Ages. I could not escape that call. As much as I may have wanted to put it off, as much as I wanted to battle with it, I could not escape that call. Why? Because God had put it in my heart to fulfill that call for my life. I think about tonight, as you look at that, you cannot escape the call of the Lord. I think about tonight, it's what you talk about. If you've ever been called by God, it's what your conversation will be about. You'll talk about whatever it is God has called you to do. You get around Doug and you think, well, all he wants to talk about is RU. It's because God's called him to work in the RU. You get around somebody that's a soul winner, that God's called them to be a soul winner. All they want to talk about is soul winning. Why? Because that's what God has called him to do. I look back in my own life and there were times that I would get around other missionaries and I would talk about how great the Rock of Ages was. Why? Because that's what God was calling me to do. That's what was on my heart. Not only that, will you not only talk about it, but that's what you'll think about. Every time you turn around, your mind will be thinking about the call that God has put on your life. You'll be thinking about the next step that you need to take. You'll be thinking about the burden that God's putting on you. You'll be thinking about what you need to do to fulfill that call in your life. Not only that, but it's what you dream about. You say, what are you talking about? Listen, you'll wake up at night and immediately your thought will go to the call that God has put upon your life. You'll go to sleep thinking about it. You'll wake up thinking about it. It will absolutely consume your life. A person who is called of God. And I also want to say this about the call, talking about how God puts it there. When God puts a call in our hearts, it's a call that will last. I've been around folks and I've been around people that say one day, well, God's called me to preach. And then they'll get up next week and they'll say, well, God's called me to do this. And God's called me to do that. And God's called me to go here. And God's called me to do there. Listen, if God's called you to do something, it'll be a call that lasts. And it'll have a direction and it'll continue to go in that direction. God will put a call on your life in your heart that will last. Not only that, but I say about this call upon Nehemiah's heart, God made it personal. He made it personal for Nehemiah. In verse number 12, notice here, he said, Neither told I any man what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem. Notice there the word my appears twice in that verse. Once he says, my God, and then the other he says, my heart. Nehemiah's call was personal to him, so personal that he kept it to himself for a while. Has God ever spoke to your heart and wanted you to do something or wanted you to serve and for a little while you just kind of kept it to yourself and didn't tell nobody? I think Nehemiah was making his calling sure. He was making sure that God, this is what you want me to do. I see that it was personal. I see also this matter of personal. God specifically called him. He personally called Nehemiah to build the wall. Now understand this, were there others more qualified than Nehemiah? More than likely, you say, why is that? Well, Nehemiah's job prior to this was being the king's cupbearer. You know what that was? He was in the Persian secret service. And his job was to make sure that nobody poisoned the king. So you know what that meant? When somebody brought him a cup of whatever he gave the king to drink that night, he took a sip. And if he didn't fall over dead, he could allow the king to drink that cup. So you say he wasn't really qualified to go into large construction, was he? Why? Because all he was basically a taste tester and a secret servant agent. There were others that were more qualified than Nehemiah, but God was calling Nehemiah. I think about in our lives, when God puts a call upon our lives, there are others that are more qualified than us to do that. But God has called us to do that. For whatever reason, for whatever purpose. It is what God has called us to do. Listen, I guarantee you tonight you can find somebody that can preach better than me. I guarantee you tonight there's somebody more qualified to me than go in those prisons and do what God's called me to do. But guess what? God may not be calling them. God is calling me to go do that. I think about it in my life. There are probably things that I could do that I'm more qualified to do than what I'm doing. But God has not called me to do that. God makes the call personal. In Acts 13, we know the story of Paul and Barnabas. The Holy Spirit said, separate me, Paul and Barnabas, for the work whereunto I have called them. God specifically called out two men to do a job, Paul and Barnabas. If God is calling you for some specific service, He is calling you specifically. Then I'll say this thirdly and quickly tonight. I've got two more to go, y'all. Thirdly and quickly tonight, God provided for the call. If you look down in verse number 12, it says, neither was there any beast with me save the beast that I rode upon. God called Nehemiah to build the wall. Understand this tonight, there were no John Deere's. There were no caterpillars. In fact, there wasn't even a snapper lawnmower available to Nehemiah. It was going to take a lot of work for this job to get done. And Nehemiah didn't know how it was going to happen. But Nehemiah knew that God was going to provide the things necessary for him to do the job. In fact, if you were to look back in chapter number 1, God had already provided the 2x4s found in verse number 8. He says in a letter unto Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timbers to make beams for the gates of the palace. Maybe they were 4x4s because it was a gate. I don't know, but God had already provided the lumber there. Then in verse number 9, notice God had given him an armed escort. He says here, now the king had sent captains of the army and horsemen with me. In other words, they wasn't nobody going to mess with Nehemiah. He had an armed escort. If you go on in the story, God had already provided laborers there and how that they were going to build the wall. Listen, when God puts a call in your heart to serve Him, He's going to provide everything that you need to fulfill that call. If you look at the equation without the Lord in it, most of the time the call of God is impossible. But when you put the Lord in it, the call of God becomes very possible in our lives. Secondly, tonight, concerning the call of Nehemiah, Nehemiah counted the cost. If you look in 13 through 15, what was Nehemiah doing? Well, he went out by night by the gate of the valley, even before the dragon well, into the dung port, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down. Nehemiah was counting the cost. You say, why in the world would you count the cost? If God's called me to do something, why do I need to count the cost? Well, you need to count the cost because guess what? There's going to come things that blindside you. There's going to come burdens that you did not see. There's going to come difficulties that you did not know about. There are going to come things that happen that you did not expect. And if you're not ready, you're not prepared, it's going to catch you off guard and it's going to make that call even more difficult than it already is. There have been many people who have not counted the cost. They have not understood the heaviness of the work. They have not understood the magnitude of the work. They have not understood and realized that there's going to be problems and hindrances and things that are going to come to make the call difficult. And because they think it's going to be a bed of roses, when it's not, they crash, they wash out, and they reverse in the call that God has put upon their lives. Listen, the service of the Lord, I've said it many times, is not for wimps. When God calls you to do something, you need to count the cost and say, Lord, I know the cost is high. I know that it's difficult. I know it's not going to be easy. But look at the cost and what it's going to take and then move forward trusting the Lord. Notice three things here about counting the cost. Notice Nehemiah went out in verse 13. It says here, I went out by night. Notice Nehemiah just didn't sit down somewhere and say, God's called me to build a wall. What do I do next? No, Nehemiah went out and found out what he needed to do. When he went out and found out where he needed to start. When God calls someone, they're to get going. They're to move from where they're at. Maybe not physically, but spiritually they might need to grow. Maybe physically they need to go view the call that God puts on their life. Oftentimes when God calls a missionary to a field, it all starts with one mission trip somewhere. And God puts a burden on their heart and they can't get away from that thing. Oftentimes, God may put a burden for us to win somebody to the Lord, and it occurs at one meeting. Oftentimes, God may be putting upon our heart to help in some way in the local church, and it involves us one time stepping out by faith and say, I'm willing to try to do that for the Lord. Listen, when I was 18 years old, a man asked me to teach Sunday school, and guess what? I taught it one time, and I liked it. I taught it two times and I really liked it. I taught it three times and God was calling me to teach a Sunday school class. You say, what's so big about that? Well, understand this. When I walked into that Sunday school class, I was 18 years old. Everyone else in that class was men that were 65 years old. And they were the deacons of the church. They were the patriarchs of the church. They were the men who I looked up to. And I had to teach them Sunday school. I had to understand right quick I couldn't walk in there with just some simple Sunday school message every week, that it was going to sacrifice time, it was going to take effort, it was going to take study. Listen, the call, we have to go out and see what God would have us to do. Then I see secondly about this call and counting the cost. He viewed. In verse 13, he says, he viewed the walls of Jerusalem which were broken down. Notice Nehemiah had only heard about the destruction up to this point. Now he literally lays his eyes upon the task. Nehemiah saw the wall. Nehemiah saw the gates. In fact, he talks about the rubble and destruction was so great in verse 14 that he couldn't even pass through it. Nehemiah viewed the wall. When Nehemiah saw with his eyes, he had a better understanding as to what God was calling him to do. You say, I feel like what God's calling me to do something. Well, go get a look at it. You'll have a better understanding whether or not God's calling you to do that or not. I feel like God's calling me to help in this capacity. Well, show up and help one time. And you might realize God is calling you to do that. Get a view of what God's calling you to do. Quickly tonight, I see thirdly, Nehemiah returned. Verse 15, it says, and so returned. Nehemiah spent the night counting the cost. He saw the need. He understood the weight of his call now. But notice, he didn't run away from it. You know, Nehemiah could have went back to the king of Persia and said, hey, I want my old job back. This other one down here, I don't want nothing to do with it. I'll take a chance of a little arsenic, you know. That's what he could have did, but that ain't what he did. Nehemiah saw the burden. He saw the need. He saw the call. And he says, you know what? I'm going to stay right here and I'm going to do it. The call was real to him. He wasn't afraid of the task that was in front of him. He could have seen all the work and all the rubble and run away, but he didn't. When God calls us and to do something for Him, we need to count the cost. But do not let the cost stop you if God has called you. You may say, man, the cost is awful high. It's going to cost me some sleep. It's going to cost me some money. It's going to cost me some time with my family. It's going to cost me some effort. It may cost me a lot of things. But if God has called you to do it, the cost is absolutely worth it tonight. If the call is real, you cannot escape it. I've already said that. No matter the cost. Listen, you view that call and you see, man, that's going to cost a lot. Man, that's going to take a lot. And you say, you know what? I don't want to do it. Guess what? That call ain't going to go away. It's going to continue to nip at your heels. It's going to continue to nag your mind until you finally either, one, surrender to that call, or two, you quench the spirit and God says, fine, I won't use you. I'll set you over here on the shelf somewhere. I think about the cost as we count the cost. The old song says, Jesus paid it all. The cost is real, and we have an unending resource in Christ. Whatever the cost may be tonight, Christ is the one who can provide it for us. Christ is the one that can meet that need. Whatever God's called us to do, whatever God has shown us to do for Him, that resource is available. You know, I think about how that they tell us all over the world there's literally millions of gallons of oil in the ground. Well, guess what? It's in the ground. Unless we go drill it and get it up, it ain't going to be no use to us. You think about how the Lord works in our lives. There's a resource available. If we never tap into that resource, it's never going to be used. And God's never going to use us. Then I see, thirdly tonight, quickly, Nehemiah finally revealed his call. If you look there in verse number 16, he says they didn't. He says, and the rulers knew not whither I went or what I did. Neither had I as yet told it to the Jews. Notice there, he hadn't told anybody about the call yet. But in verse number 17, he begins to tell them about what God had called him to do. He says, Then said I unto them, ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth in wait, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. And I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me. Notice there, Nehemiah finally revealed his call to those around him. I think about when Nehemiah felt God's call on his life. Once Nehemiah had counted the cost of God's call on his life, he revealed his call to others. When God calls us to do something in service for Him, we need to tell others about it. Not in pride or in a look at me attitude, but so that they can pray for us, so that they can help us, and so that they may be called to be a part of what we are doing. You say, why do you go to these other churches and tell them about what God's called me to do? Well, one, I need support to do what God's called me to do. And two, I want them to help me do what God has called me to do. I think about tonight, when God calls us, we need to tell others about it. Who do we tell? Well, I would say if you're a teenager in here tonight, and I don't know that there's any here tonight. Doug, no, you're not a teenager. Sorry, bro. But anyway, tonight, if you were a teenager, if you have a teenager, the first person a teenager needs to tell is mom and dad. Mom, Dad, God's dealing me about this. This is what God's called me to do. This is the direction God's called me to. And listen, Mom and Dad, if a teenager comes to you and says, God's called me to do this, don't pour water on it. Don't say, God ain't calling you to do that. You don't want to do that. You don't want to be a preacher. You know how hard that is? Don't have that attitude. Say, son, I'll pray for you. Daughter, I'll pray for you. I'll help you. I'll guide you. I'll do everything I can for you. I'm thankful the day that I told my dad I was called to preach. He was happy and he hugged my neck and he said, I'll pray for you. I'll help you. The day I told my dad I'm going to be a Rock of Ages missionary. He wasn't happy because he knew I was going to leave and I was going to be gone a lot and grandkids was going away. But he said, I'll help you. I'll pray for you. I'll do whatever I can for you. He didn't pour water on it. I see, not only do if you're a teenager, tell mom and dad, don't pour water on it. But listen, if you're still living with mom and dad, you might want to tell them. I don't think that applies to anybody in here tonight. Didn't know if the teenagers were going to be here. But then I think, husband, tell your wife about it. Don't hide that from her. Don't wait till Sunday morning. You're standing before the church and your wife don't know anything about it. God's called me to preach. Boy, she's going to have a heart attack, you know. You need to tell your wife about it so that she can pray about it. Because guess what? Husband and wife are ministers together. My wife is just a big part of my ministry as anyone is. And if I was to try to go at it alone, I'd be in a world of hurt. I'd be in a world of trouble. I tell her everything that God's directed me in. I tell her everything God's called me to do. I tell her every which way God is leading me in this ministry. She prays for me. She counsels me, and I'm thankful for that tonight. But husband, tell your wife, hey, listen, wives, if God's calling you to do something in the church, whatever it may be, tell your husband about it. Tell him, hey, God's called me to help in children's church. God's called me to sing in the choir. God's called me to teach a Sunday school. God's called me to show up and go soul winning and things like that. Tell your spouse about that thing. Then I say another thing. Tell your pastor about it. Pastor has there's a thing called pastoral authority. If you're a member of this local Baptist church, we're under the pastoral authority. We're under God's under shepherd. And if God is calling you to do something, tell him about it before you tell, before you make a big announcement about it. Let him know what God's calling you to do. He might have a sight that you don't have. He might have a seen something that maybe you hadn't seen. You don't know, but you need to talk to him about what God's calling you to do. I think about tonight, there are three things quickly that I'll talk about the revealed call. First of all, he revealed the burden or God's call upon his life. He said, the hand of my God was upon me. Nehemiah told those in Jerusalem that his burden was big. He told them that what God had called him to do. And no doubt when he finally revealed the burden, when he finally revealed the call, it was a relief. I can remember the day that I finally stood before my church and announced my call to preach. It was a relief. It was like a weight had finally been lifted. Listen, God's calling you to do something. You start telling somebody about it and you start having liberty to reveal that call, it will be a absolutely relief to you. Absolutely. There's another one. Anyway, then I see secondly, he reveals his willingness. Verses 17 and 18, he says, "Ye see the distress we are in." Then verse number 18, he says, "Let us rise up and build." Nehemiah was willing to do the work of the God that called him to do. Nehemiah didn't say, "God's called me to rebuild Jerusalem, now you fellas get to work." No, Nehemiah says, "I'm in the same boat as you fellas and I'm going to help you do the work. I'm going to help you perform what God has called me to do." He did what God had called him to do and he did it willingly. He was willing to get his hands dirty. Listen, if God is calling you to do something, you need to have a willing spirit about it. You don't need to say, "Well, I need help from so-and-so," or "I need this," or "I need it." No, just be willing to do it. It'll all come together. Those that need to help you will help you. Then I see thirdly tonight. Well, not only that, let me say this. When God has called us to do something, and when God puts that in there and we have that willingness to serve, if it's not something great and it's not something we're going to get recognition for, don't lose that willingness to serve Him. Don't let that go away. Continue to have that willingness to serve the Lord. And then thirdly, I say this, he reveals his determination. Verse number 19, there's some hecklers that come along. There's some people that come along that want to give Nehemiah down the road. But you know what? Nehemiah said, "Listen, God's called me to do this. I ain't going to let you fellas stop me." Listen, when God begins to call somebody to do something, and when God even begins to call believers to do something, there are going to be those that are other believers, and they're going to look at you and say, "God ain't called you to do that. You can't do that. You can't perform that." Listen, we don't know what God might be calling someone to do. It's none of our business. That's between them and the Lord. We need to be finding out what God's called me to do or what God's called us to do. We don't need to judge and say, "Well, God, ain't no way, God. If y'all would listen, if y'all would have known me when I was 13 years old, that boy ain't worth nothing. God ain't ever going to use him." But it's amazing how God works in a life. And it's amazing how God, you look at some of these young people back here, and you look at them and think, "Man, I don't know what they're going to be, but I know God can't use them." Listen, you don't know what God might do with them people, with them young people. You look at somebody that comes in here and they get saved and they begin to get in the church and they begin to get the proper discipleship. Don't look at them and say, "Well, God ain't ever going to use that man." Look at them. Oh, that's the wrong attitude to have. You don't know what God might use them for. God uses, listen, God deals in broken down, worn out, used up people. He takes them and He uses them for His glory. Think about Nehemiah. He had a determination. Listen, I'll say this too. The world is going to look at you like you're absolutely crazy. If you say, "Well, God's called me to go to the mission field," why would you want to do that? Even myself sometimes, even as a missionary, I sit there and I hear people that they say, "Well, God's called me to go to Africa," or "God's called me to go to China." I think about one fellow named Clint Souders. Is that it? Clint Souders? Which one? Justin Souder. He's a missionary going to Africa. And he was telling us about the place that he was going in, and he was telling about the garbage there, and he said, "Listen, when the streets flood, the river runs with garbage." I'm thinking, "You crazy, dude, you know? I ain't going." But listen, that's my perspective. God's called him to do that. He needs to go do it. Listen, I tell somebody I'm going to prison, "You're crazy, you know? What are you talking about?" The world cannot understand that. They cannot comprehend that. We need to maintain that determination. We need to don't stop advancing. Keep going and just keep swimming, as the movie Nemo says. Just keep moving forward. Just keep going for the Lord. It won't stop you. One day I'm going to preach that here and y'all understand all that. Then I say, fourthly tonight, Nehemiah revealed the X factor or the secret weapon in verse number 20. It says, Then answered I them and said unto them, the God of heaven, He will prosper us. Therefore, we, His servants, will rise and build, but ye have no portion, nor right, nor memorial in Jerusalem. Notice here, Nehemiah had proclaims here why he was going to be successful in his call. It was because the call had come from God, and it was because he knew God was going to bless him in his efforts. In our effort to answer God's call, whatever it may be, we must realize that He has called us to work for Him. And He will meet the need. He will use us to perform His will. He will use it to bring it to pass. Whatever shortcomings we have, whatever we may lack, God will meet the need when He has called us into some ministry. It is not by our power alone to perform God's will, but it is by our willingness and by His power to bring to pass whatever God has called us to do. So in closing tonight, as the piano player comes this evening, I ask the question simply this. What has God called you to do? What has God called you to do tonight? Is there something that God has been burdening your heart about? Is there someone that God has put upon your heart that you need to go visit? That you need to go see? Is there something in the local church that you've seen that say, you know what? I want to help out in that ministry and I think maybe God's calling me to do that. Is there someone here tonight that God's calling to preach? I have no idea. God's calling to the mission field. God's calling you to expand what you're doing. I don't know tonight, but I would challenge you to answer that. Is there something the Lord's put on your heart? I think about tonight, if God's working in your heart and showing you, need to consider some things tonight. First of all, consider that God's the one doing the calling. The God of heaven is focused on your heart, and He knows that He can use you in some way. He's the one doing the calling. No greater call in this world. Nobody could call you greater than God Almighty. God's the one doing the calling. Then I say, secondly, if God's doing the calling, count the cost. Don't get blindsided. But realize the cost is going to come with serving the Lord, and realize the cost isn't too great. And then I say, thirdly, reveal the call. You might want to tell somebody about it. That way we can know about it. That way we can pray for you. And that way we can know how God is using you in a great way. Then I'll say lastly tonight, God's still calling sinners to repentance. I know it hadn't necessarily been an evangelistical message tonight, but listen, if you're lost, God might be calling you to come to repentance. Might be calling you to accept Him as your personal Savior. Listen, the call to repentance is the greatest call, one of the first greatest calls you'll ever hear in your life. That call to come unto me, that call to have your sins forgiven. Listen, if God's calling you to repentance tonight would be a good night to get it right. Father, we love you tonight.